Today's reading, for those of you following along, is Matthew 28, 1 through 10. Jesus has risen. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'"
Well, a few minutes ago, as we were singing, we sang one of my favorite songs. It's a song called "Mighty to Save." It has been and will probably always be a song that means a lot to me. It's a song that I associate, actually, with a really difficult season in my life. I've shared here at Harbor before that I've struggled a lot in my life with depression. And I've shared that after I graduated college, I experienced a really difficult season where I did not think I wanted to be alive anymore, and I took action on that. What followed that dark night was a stay at a hospital and then a few more days in a psychiatric care facility. But during that really hard time, I was surrounded by my church family, and I experienced such amazing love and support that I very quickly began to heal. The feelings of hopelessness began to fade. The feelings of loneliness and being unloved were replaced with the love from my community. And after a while, I was ready to start back in my job in worship ministry, leading people in worship like Paul and the band just did. The first Sunday, I stood back on the stage leading the congregation in worship. We sang "Mighty to Save." And it will never get old to me how clearly I have seen the truth of those words in my life. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. My God conquered the grave. I know that Jesus saved my life. I know that Jesus is more powerful than depression. I know that Jesus turns death into life. I know the resurrection of Jesus because he's done it to me. He resurrected me from the darkest night into a beautiful new life. I've experienced the power of resurrection, and so every Easter I celebrate again the reality that the resurrection of Jesus is not simply some historical event that happened 2,000 years ago. Every Easter I celebrate the power that Jesus' resurrection is still at work now. The power of his resurrection is still conquering sin, still conquering evil, still conquering death. And this Easter, I want to invite you to experience the reality of the resurrection. I want us not to miss the power of this Sunday, the power of Jesus' resurrection in the familiarity of the story. I want to help you connect today with what in your life needs resurrection. And I want you to leave feeling the joy and peace and love and hope that are only found in Jesus. So I want to invite you this morning to consider, what is it that you see that's in need of resurrection? The Bible tells us in the book of Romans that all creation is groaning under the weight of sin. All creation. Here at Harbor, we believe that God gave humans the choice to operate according to how he made the world, or the choice to do things our own way. We believe over and over again humans have chosen to do things their own way. Oh yes, the story of Adam and Eve shows us that from the very beginning, that was how we operated. But we've been making those choices all along the way. We all choose to do things that are not the way God intends them to be. And we believe here at Harbor that when we operate outside of the way God intended life to be lived, things break. When an individual chooses to lie, a relationship is damaged. When a whole community chooses sin, like think about what happened in our country with the practice of slavery, whole systems were corrupted, right? We see today persistent problems with racial inequality in our country because this brokenness from this communal sin has taken a toll for a long time in our country. We believe here at Harbor that sin, the choice to go our way instead of God's way, disrupts everything. Creation, our relationship with God, our relationships with each other, and our relationship even with ourselves. So I'm guessing it won't take you very long to look around and find something in need of resurrection. Maybe you see just this need for resurrection in the world in general, the horrific and ongoing practice of war, poverty, wealth inequality, the all too prevalent harm that comes to people because of their race or gender or sexual orientation, our inability to work together to solve the problems in our world. There is so much messed up in our world. Our world is in need of resurrection. And I'm betting we can probably all think of something a little closer to home that needs a resurrection. I know this has been a hard season for many of you. Like me, some of you struggle with mental health issues, and you are weary of the everyday battle. Some of you struggle with addiction. For some of you, this is your first Easter sober. And for some of you, you've relapsed again. You're in need of resurrection. Maybe you're here today and your marriage is crumbling. You've done everything you think you can, and still it is a fight every day to choose to stay together. Maybe your child is making choices that are breaking your heart. You need a resurrection. Some of you are walking alongside loved ones facing sickness and disease, cancer that's spreading instead of retreating, depression that's deepening instead of getting better. Your loved one is in need of a resurrection. So what is it for you? Where do you see the need for resurrection? It's not too hard for us to consider the need for resurrection. And that is exactly why we need to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Because here at Harbor, we believe that the resurrection of Jesus is not just about the return to life of Jesus' physical body 2,000 years ago. The resurrection is about his power to resurrect absolutely everything that is dying in this broken world. The Bible says that Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, speaking of Adam in the Garden of Eden, choosing sin, the resurrection of death comes also through a man, Jesus. In Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. To say that Christ is the first fruits, that means that the resurrection of Jesus was a promise of the resurrection of everything else. The resurrection of Christ is a sign of God's great power to resurrect anything. Jesus died carrying all the sin of all humankind. On Good Friday, we remembered that Jesus was like the lamb offered in ancient Israel to atone for the sins of the people. He was God in the flesh, and so his sacrifice was so powerful that it forgave the sins of all the world forever. But the story didn't end there. His followers took his body down from the cross, lovingly wrapped it and anointed it for burial, and laid it in a tomb. And then the government sealed the tomb and posted a guard in order to make sure no one would steal his body. From Pilate's perspective, no one was getting in or out of that tomb. But on Sunday morning, God proved that neither the scheming of the religious leaders, not the fear of Jesus' disciples, not the power of the entire Roman Empire, none of that could stop God. He sent an earthquake. He sent an angel. The stone rolled away, and Jesus walked out of the tomb. And this changed absolutely everything. The rest of the New Testament shows that the early Christians believed the resurrection changed everything for the rest of time. Because while Jesus' death offered forgiveness from sin, his resurrection broke its power. His resurrection proved that God is able to breathe life into what seems hopelessly dead. His death looked like Satan had won, but the resurrection proved that evil will never have the last word. God will. That's what we celebrate on Easter Sunday. There are three promises of Easter that I want us to remember today. The first thing is that Jesus' resurrection promises us that the power of sin is broken. Romans 6 says that we know our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We're sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. Now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves dead to the power of sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. The Bible teaches us that Jesus' death and resurrection broke the power of sin. We've all experienced the pull of sin in our lives, right? We snap at a loved one when we're hungry. We think about our own needs instead of the needs of others. Many of us struggle with addiction, things we can't stop doing that aren't good for us. Alcohol, drugs, pornography, overeating, overspending. We all struggle with sin in our lives. And sin hurts us. And it hurts others. Jesus' death gave us forgiveness from sin so that we can still have a relationship with God even though we sin. But Jesus' resurrection broke the power of sin. That means we don't have to sin anymore. Somehow, the resurrection of Jesus made a way for us to say no to sin. And as we follow Jesus, as we walk in the new life he offers us, those verses tell us that Jesus will help us become more and more like him and less like the old version of ourselves, but we couldn't help but choose sin. This is what every 12-step program celebrates. Someone outside of us can help us change the habits that we are incapable of saying no to. The Bible says that that someone is Jesus. This is good news. If you're here this morning feeling burdened by your sin, feeling trapped in a cycle of choosing what only hurts you, Jesus' resurrection promises that there is a way out, and his name is Jesus. If you will only accept his help, if you will only surrender to him, he will help you break sin's power in your life. There are only, by the way, recovering sinners in this room. That's all that's here. We are all in desperate need of help from our Savior to stop the sin that keeps calling us back to it. That's who we are here at Harbor, a community of recovering sinners who confess that we need Jesus to help us stop doing what hurts us and hurts others. Jesus' resurrection broke the power of sin. That's good news. But there's more. Jesus' resurrection promises not only that the power of sin is broken, but the resurrection of Jesus promises that death doesn't have the last word. The Bible tells us, and experience shows us, right, that sin leads to death. Sin leads to, of course, the literal ending of lives prematurely, and sin leads to life being miserable. When we sin, we've said we hurt each other, we hurt ourselves. When we treat people badly out of our sin, it inhibits their ability to fully live and enjoy life. But Jesus said he came that people might have life and have life abundantly. We often talk about how Jesus died for our sins, and we celebrate that his death on our behalf means that when we die, we get to go be with him in a perfected heaven and earth. And that is true. Praise God. But Jesus' death does not only impact our life after death. He intended his work, the things he talked about while he was alive, his death, his resurrection. He intended all of that to impact the way we live now. He came to help life be more like life is supposed to be. Jesus' resurrection was a powerful demonstration that God is more powerful than death, that God is capable of defeating death. Three times in the Gospels, the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, those are the books that tell us about the life of Jesus. And three times in those books, we read that Jesus raised someone from the dead. He raised someone's daughter, someone's son. He raised his dear friend Lazarus. In his life, Jesus demonstrated that death doesn't have the last word. And he's powerful enough that he could not be kept in the grave. Death couldn't stop Jesus. And when we join our lives to Christ, we are joined to him in resurrection power. Romans 8 says this, "And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you." Did you hear that? The very spirit of God that raised Jesus up out of the tomb lives in us, right? When we join our lives to Christ, when we decide to follow him, we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit, who is the presence of God with us. The Holy Spirit who is in us, who empowers us to breathe resurrection life into everything we touch. Death does not have the last word. So what needs resurrection in your life? The resurrection of Jesus proves that nothing is too far gone for him to restore. Your child, your marriage, your own life, none of it is too far gone for Jesus. 2 Corinthians says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. We worship a God who loves a comeback story, a God who loves a surprise ending, a God who delights in making new that which looks like death. So if your life looks like death today, God wants to invite you to surrender to him and to watch how he will restore what's broken. Death does not have the last word. And even in our physical death, which will come to every one of us someday, that's not the end of the story. God has a plan for a new world where heaven and earth will come together again like they were in the Garden of Eden, where all of us will be invited again to come and live with God, to see him face to face forever. And in that new heavenly world, there will not be any sickness. There will not be any cancer. There will not be any homelessness. There will not be any pain. There will not be any divorce. There will be no grief. There will be no death. There will be no funerals ever again. That is where we're headed. Jesus' resurrection is a guarantee of all that is still coming. It's a sneak peek of where we're headed. His resurrection promises us that death does not have the last word. And we can be sure that death doesn't have the last word because the resurrection of Jesus promises us that evil doesn't win. Evil doesn't win. If it looks like evil has the upper hand, the story's not over yet. Because although we don't know exactly how it will happen or exactly when it will happen, the Bible promises us that Jesus, in the end, will strike the death blow to evil once and for all. In Jesus' death, evil thought it had won. The Son of God, dead. But Colossians says that what Satan thought was a triumph was actually his defeat. Colossians 2 says, "And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he, Jesus, made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." The cross was meant to be a shameful way to die. the political leaders and religious leaders that cared more about holding on to their own power than they did about what was right, they sent Jesus to die on a cross in order to destroy his influence. In fact, in the Gospels of Luke and John, they tell us that it was Satan who influenced the disciple Judas to betray Jesus to his death. And on Good Friday and on Holy Saturday, it looked like they might have won. It looked like Satan might have gotten his wish. But Resurrection Sunday proved them all wrong. And the book of Revelation tells us that at the end of all things, Satan and all the evil he brings with him will be gone forever. They will be destroyed once and for all. I am so grateful for this. You know how often it looks like evil is winning. You've experienced this in your own life. You've experienced this looking at the world around you. Innocent people die. Guilty people are not made to make restitution for what they've done. Those who harm others are seemingly immune to any consequences. But on Resurrection Sunday, we remember that whatever it looks like right now, evil does not have the last word. Jesus struck a deadly blow to Satan and all his evil schemes on the cross, and he will finish him once and for all at the end. Justice will be done. Every wrong will be made right. The cross showed that Jesus could do battle with the source of all evil, and the resurrection promises its defeat once and for all. So, maybe you could see why Easter is my favorite day of the whole year. Because on Easter, we celebrate the promise that the power of sin has been broken. On Easter, we celebrate that death doesn't have the final word. On Easter, we celebrate that evil doesn't get to win. A few moments ago, I asked you to consider where in your world you see a need for resurrection. In a few moments, as you've heard, we're going to have some baptisms. And you're going to see some stories of some of the Harbor community who are being baptized today. Each of them have experienced the resurrection that Jesus promises to those who follow him. All of us here at Harbor have stories of times when Jesus brought us resurrection. My story is one of Jesus rescuing me from deep depression. Others of us have experienced resurrection from lives that were caught up in addiction. Some of us have experienced the power of Jesus to comfort us in seasons of loss. We know that he brings hope in the midst of those seasons of deep despair. Here at Harbor, we believe that Jesus' resurrection wasn't just for him. It's an invitation for us. And baptism is where we RSVP yes. Saying yes to Jesus' invitation to the resurrected life where sin doesn't hold us captive, where death gives way to life, and where evil surrenders to justice. This morning, if you see a need for resurrection in your life, I want to invite you to just whisper that to Jesus in these next few moments. Tell him that you have experienced what it is to live as one who's dead, and you want the new life he offers. You want to be made new. And he promises he will do that. This morning, if you're weary from a season that has felt like death, or weary from a season where it looks like evil is winning, maybe this morning, in these next moments of quiet, you can just listen for Jesus' encouragement to your soul that no matter what it looks like right now, death does not have the last word. Evil will not win. God will bring justice. God will bring new life. See, on Easter Sunday, we celebrate the great love that Jesus has for us, the great power of Jesus to restore everything in our lives. Jesus died for us because he loves us. If you've never heard that before, I hope if you forget everything else that happens or we talk about today, I hope you walk away knowing Jesus loves you. You are so loved. The cross is how much Jesus loves you. He loved you enough to die for you. And the resurrection is his promise of how he can change your life. How he can breathe life into what feels like death. How he can bind up your broken heart. How he can heal. How he can forgive. You are so loved. Today, what we're offered is an invitation to just come to his table and join him there, to come near the one who loves us, to come surrender to the one who wants to make us new. In these next few moments, you'll have time to consider what's resonating in your heart with what we've talked about today, what you've seen today, what you've heard, what you've felt. We believe here that that still small voice speaking love and invitation and encouragement to you is the voice of God speaking to you, lovingly drawing you closer to him. After a few moments to just be quiet and think, the band will play a song, and then you'll be invited during that song, when you're ready, to come up and take communion. Here at Harbor, you don't need to be a member or anything like that to participate in communion. It's just a way for all of us who want Jesus to celebrate his love for us. The bread reminds us of his body that was broken for us. The juice, his blood that was shed for us. These are tangible elements that are meant to remind us how very loved we are. And so after, in these moments of quiet or during the song, whenever you're ready, you can come on up and receive. And after the song, we're going to have baptisms. Four people are planning to be baptized this morning. But like Danielle said, if you're here this morning and you are ready to RSVP yes to Jesus' invitation, if you want the new life he offers, if you want to surrender to his process of making you new, come be baptized. We have extra shirts and pants and towels just out this door for you. We're ready. We've got towels. We've got clothes. If today's the day, join us at the baptistry. Baptism doesn't save us. It's a demonstration of what Jesus is doing for us, an invitation that we're accepting to new life. So if you want to be baptized today, you can head out these doors, and Pam over there, wave at us, Pam. Pam will help you if you want to be baptized this morning. So let me pray, and then take these next few moments to reflect on what God is saying to you this morning. Jesus, thank you for the power of your resurrection. Thank you that your resurrection means that death does not have the last word, that evil doesn't win, that the power of sin over us is broken. Your resurrection changed everything. And so whether this is the first or 300th time we've heard the story of your resurrection, will you whisper your words to each of us about how you want to make us new this morning? Whisper your words of invitation to us. Help us accept the invitation you extend to us this morning to participate in this resurrected life you've made possible for us. In your beautiful name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Hello, I am Ellen Connor. I'm 27 years old, and I am a full-time nanny. And the first time I attended service here at Harbor of Hope was about a year and a half ago. Growing up, I've always known Jesus. I learned a lot about him. My mom was born into the Catholic Church and went to Catholic school, so she did a wonderful job at teaching me about him and his ways and really exposing me to him and the church. She decided not to baptize me as a child. She wanted me to make that choice for myself if I wanted to continue in the journey of following Jesus, or if the, you know, the Christian religion was for me. So I really admire her for that, for leaving that huge decision up to me. So I'm here today to become baptized, to commit myself to Jesus and to the church. I hope to have a family someday that I would love to raise in the church, and I want to be that godly example for my children, that regardless of where you come from or how old you are, you can commit yourself and surrender yourself to Jesus and become baptized and really live through him. I know many, many ways in my life he has guided me. He has answered many prayers, and I wouldn't have been able to get through a lot of things in life without that higher power that I believe, you know, is Jesus. The reason I am becoming baptized today, if somebody were to ask, is I want to proclaim my faith in Jesus and dive deeper into the Bible and learn more and commit myself more to him and fully surrender to his plan that he has for me and my future.
All right. So, Ellen, I'm going to have you repeat Peter's confession after me.
Okay.
I believe. That Jesus is the Christ.
That Jesus is the Christ.
The Son of the living God.
The Son of the living God.
And Ellen, it's on your confession of faith that I now baptize you in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, I'm Paul, a pest control manager. I've been coming to Harbor for a month now to bring hope into my life. I was in a bad state of mind over 2 months ago when alcohol controlled me for a very long time. I needed change for the better. So I went to a rehab, and I think that is when Jesus found me and has helped me through this, and also the love and support of my family. So that is some of my story and where I am in my life. I am being baptized now with the willingness to follow Jesus so he can lead me to a better influence to others and to be grateful of this new leaf I will be turning. Thank you and God bless.
All right. Paul, I'm going to have you repeat Peter's confession. I believe that Jesus is the Christ.
That Jesus is the Christ.
The Son of the living God.
The Son of the living God.
And Paul, it's on your confession of faith that I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Grayson. I am 10 years old. I am ready to get baptized because I want to give my life to Jesus.
So you're going to repeat after me, okay? Okay. I believe Jesus is the Christ.
Jesus is the Christ.
The Son of the living God.
The Son of the living God.
On your confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father,
and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Hold your nose and cross your arms. One.
I'm Catalina and I'm a sophomore. I've been coming to Harbor of Hope for about 3 or 4 years now. Before, I always got told I'm Catholic. I was born in a Catholic church, but I don't think personally I've ever been to a home church that I felt this connected to. Now I know I do want to get baptized, and knowing that I can grow with this community and with God, and everything is just so amazing. Thank you.
I believe
Jesus is the Christ.
Jesus is the Christ.
The Son of the living God.
The Son of the living God.
On your confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.